Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 10 of season 4. This one is called The Loss. It was directed by Chip Chalmers, great name. Teleplay credit goes to Hilary Badger, Alan Adler, and Vanessa Green. Story credit goes to Hilary Badger. Did I say Badger before? It's Badger. It aired back on December 31st, 1990. In this episode, the USS Enterprise becomes trapped within a field of two-dimensional life forms while Counselor Troi struggles with the sudden, unexpected loss of her telepathic abilities. Troi episode. So, to help us talk about this one, Modi Upper Indus has returned to the podcast after just getting done talking about Final Mission. Me and Modi are going to go into what worked and what didn't with this loss episode. We're going to get a three-dimensional discussion going where we might only need two dimensions. Anyway, after this audio break, me and Modi are going to go deep on The Loss.
How are you feeling?
Beverly, I can't do my job. I'm absolutely lost. You have to do something.
I cross-referenced your scan results with the baseline files on the computer. Nothing helpful has turned up. And so far, the lab work is inconclusive.
Inconclusive? What does that mean?
It means there is nothing I can do now. I am still trying.
How do you people live like this?
We get by pretty well, actually. And so will you, in time.
You have no idea. No idea what this is like. How can you know what it's like to lose something you never had?
I don't claim to.
And yet you're telling me that I'm supposed to get used to it.
If our positions were reversed, what would you tell me?
If our positions were reversed, I wouldn't have been in here treating skinned elbows while you were lying passed out on your office floor. I'd have been there a lot sooner, perhaps in time, to prevent this from ever happening.
All right, Modi, let's continue plugging along with these episodes. We just
I've
got
waited
done,
for this one for a long time now.
We just got Can't done wait. Talking about Final Mission, which we both agreed is not a great episode of Star Trek. We're now going to move on to The Loss, which I feel a theme coming on here. I don't plan this way, but I feel like you have had 80% of the Troi-centric episodes.
Oh boy, I'm a Troi expert. I'm a Troi-spert.
Did you you had Haven, didn't you?
I did.
You did. Yep. Yeah, that's her introduction. I don't think you had the child. I think that was my wife.
No, I don't think I had that one.
What was the other? What's the other Troi thing that you've had? You had one.
I don't remember.
Didn't you have the Price?
Yeah. Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
The Price. All of her episodes are so fucking terrible.
It tells you something about the character.
It really does. I mean, I know that people have complained about this on the podcast. People complain about this on every Star Trek podcast, but let's get this out of the way for people who have something to complain about here. Just because you like a show does not mean that everything in that show is good. The Troi character, for example, here is flat out one of the worst aspects of this show. She is pointless, redundant, and her abilities only serve to make plots difficult to write.
Yes.
Like, there's no getting around the fact that she is a plot buster in any kind of deception story.
Oh, only when it's convenient for the plot, though. Like, if it, you know, there's plenty of times when people are deceiving and she's like, I can't get a reading on them. They feel like they might be duplicitous, but I have no idea.
That's kind of what I mean. Like, she either breaks the plot or you're sitting there wondering, why can't she just tell them that this guy's lying? You know, like, this has been the character's weakness to this point. I'm going to start off
I was going to say, which makes this episode even more ironic because she's losing the powers that we're kind of suspecting she doesn't actually have.
Yes. Yes. Well, hold on to that thought because my wife pointed out something when she watched this one.
All right.
But let's start this one off by saying not only is the character a poorly written character, probably a combination of, I think there's a little bit of misogyny
on the writer's part, because the female characters in the show are not written nearly as strongly as the men.
No, they are not.
I think there's a little bit of misogyny. I don't think that's the main problem. I think the problem is that they came up with a counselor character in a show that that started out, its main thing was there's no conflict between characters. So why do you need a counselor character on this show? You don't need that.
That's and good point.
Three, they're forcing an actress who I don't think is that good to speak in a bizarre accent that is like stilting her performance to a point where it becomes laughable.
That's a put on accent? She doesn't actually talk like that?
No, is that sarcasm? I hope that's sarcasm.
No, I had no idea. I thought maybe she just talked like that. No, I didn't know they were forcing her to do an accent.
She has a British accent. She talks with like a London
Make
accent.
Make her British then. Oh, I guess you can't. She's an alien.
Well, and because Patrick Stewart is already there. I think that's the
British.
That's the
he's got the British market locked down. You're right. Yep.
But yep. I think she's trying to do an American accent, but she's not very good at it. So
it doesn't come off as American. Yeah, it comes off as alien somehow.
It does.
Yeah.
It comes off as alien, but in a way that seems like an alien poorly acting. Like it's not a natural sounding kind of voice.
But her mother is fine. Like her mother comes off as American.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Michelle Barrett was actually American. They didn't make any attempt to explain
exactly. Make her talk like that then. Jeez.
Although, I mean, no one seems to care that Patrick Stewart is from France and he speaks with a British accent.
Yeah, that's a good point. Also good point.
Who knows? But anyway, to get back on track here, outside of all this weakness of the Troy character, I also don't think she's a very good therapist.
At all. No. She also has one client, apparently.
Yes.
Only one client.
Who meets with her every day and is so weak-minded that she can't make up her mind. Every day this woman is changing her mind about how she feels.
Yes.
I think that, you know, I don't know if I discussed it with you before, but we have the running thing on this of Guinan was kind of the writer's mulligan for the Counselor Troy character because she's better at doing the job than Troy ever is.
All around.
And they have a scene in this episode where she completely destroys Troy with counseling by doing the thing of like...
She does like a sarcastic trolley kind of thing of like, it was awesome.
I mean, I'm sorry to keep talking, but I've been thinking about this episode because it's so weird because Troy's way of therapy seems to be... I've never undergone therapy, but it seems totally not what I understand therapy to be, where she directly challenges people about stuff, right? Like they'll say something and she'll say, "No, you're lying. I can tell you're lying because I'm empathic. So tell me the truth." And they go, "Oh, you're right. I was lying." Guinan, on the other hand, does the thing that I think therapy really tries to do, which is make the person think about what they're talking about.
Right.
And come to the conclusion on their own. And it's shocking that the scene between them is so poor.
Yeah, the Guinan does like she said. She puts up a facade and then lets Deanna come to the realization. Yeah, exactly right. That's like how you'd want to do things because it's actually forcing the person to stop and think about what they're thinking.
Right.
She's very confrontational about everything she does. It's just like, yeah, no, you're wrong. I think you're wrong about that. I also have magic powers that tell me that you're wrong, so I don't need to. I'm just guessing, but I know for sure. By the way,
maybe you were angry at your father. I don't know. It's a weird sort of thing. But anyway, the plot here is that the Enterprise gets stuck in like a sea of two-dimensional aliens who are pulling them into some kind of black hole.
It's a current almost. Yeah,
it's a current of aliens. And Troy is her brain gets overloaded and she can no longer use her empathic abilities. So she basically becomes a normal human.
And then goes through the five stages of grief. Basically,
in approximately 10 minutes. And she just gets very shrill very quickly. Is exceptionally cruel to Beverly Crusher for no particular reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yes. So mean. She's like, I would have come to my apartment faster. I was a little upset with Troy.
Yeah.
Troy was just like, I have a mild headache. And Beverly Crusher's like, people just cracked their skulls when the ship flipped over. I got to go fix them. And Troy has the gall to get upset with her about that.
Of course, she wouldn't have been able to fix anyways. Like, they would have saw her, you're losing your powers. Okay, now they're gone. Like, she couldn't do anything.
No, she couldn't. She gave her a very distressing, you have brain damage diagnosis, too.
That which... was pretty harsh, though, too, yeah. Well, you have all this dead brain tissue, so we'll work on that, I guess.
Good luck with that. What'd you think of the loss in general?
Oh, as I mentioned last episode, I've been watching these, and I have to go back and watch it again. It is not better on repeat viewing. It is more fun on repeat viewing, because I can just rip it apart in my mind.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How bad this is. But, yeah, there's a lot of layers here, and all of them are very bad.
it's a rotten onion of...
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's rotten to the core, yeah.
So, I mean, what are you thinking about Troy at this point? What's the major problem here? That not just with the character, but with this episode? Like, why does this not work?
The biggest problem here, and I don't know if it's misogyny on the writer's part, but this is a Troy episode. She doesn't actually get to be the heroine in her own episode. She seems, you know, like a hysterical person.
Mm-hmm.
And then Riker is the voice of reason. And Guinan is too, I suppose. But, like, all of the other calming presences around her are usually male. And it's just very, like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on here exactly, but...
It is very patriarchal.
It struck me that she's not the hero of this, because she's being portrayed... Like, I'm thinking, like, okay, she's nuts. She's mad that her superpowers are gone, and then she thinks that she's like us, and so she's mad about it. And it's like, okay, so they're writing that, so that's what they want me to think, that she's terrible? So that's what they're trying to get across to me? And so Riker gets to be like, you know, you're like us. We're on evil footing. It's scary out here, because we don't always know the answers.
Yep.
And so he's the voice of reason here. So... Like I said, she's not even the hero. She's kind of the villain of this episode, actually.
She is. I mean, to get onto your part about how she's not really the hero, she comes up with the solution, right? But the solution has nothing to do with her problem. And her solution...
Oh, it's just the worst kind of technobabble, I think. Like, it's like psycho technobabble.
Yes, and it has nothing to do with her profession or anything. It's like,
yeah.
Why is she the person who comes up with this idea? But that
it's such a childish solution to, like, just like, oh, we have to think in two dimensions. It's such a childish resolution. Like, it's like, okay, you need to have her solve this because that's what the episode requires.
Yes.
But you don't have her with any skills to actually do anything special or any like, clever insights to anything. She just has the most simplistic, like, kindergarten response to the problem.
Yep.
And everyone's looking at it too high a level, apparently. She's got the mind of a kindergartner, so it's fine. Now you can figure it out.
She beats...
From the mouth of babes.
Beats Data, yeah. To it, obviously. Data, yeah. Yeah, they got those two working overtime on this. I mean, the other thing is they try to jam the fact that the patient she's seeing, whose husband has died or something in some kind of accident, she has a session with her where she's like, I don't think you're fixed because, you know, your husband just died and you don't get better in a day. And the woman's like, no, mm-hmm. I'm fine. At the end of the episode, you know, big twist. Oh, I wasn't all right, actually. You were very insightful to tell me that I'm not going to be okay a day after my husband died.
Surprise.
She's like, you do have the gift. You know, what I was talking about the point earlier with my wife, we were watching this. And she turned to me and she's just like, is this episode saying that the only reason that Troy is qualified to be a counselor is because she's an empath?
That's basically it.
Like, she's
That's
terrible.
Her main qualification.
She's terrible at being a counselor, except for the fact that she can sense what someone is feeling and tell them about it.
Well, she doesn't. I guess her problem is that she has instincts. She has human instincts and doesn't trust them and doesn't understand that, you know, this feeling of possibility instead of knowing for sure is something that everyone else is dealing with, which again is like her realizing how superior her race is compared to other people.
Right. True. But I mean, I've seen 47 other goddamn episodes where she's like, I don't know what this person is thinking.
Exactly. Like, oh my God. Yeah. So she's only a counselor because of her empathic abilities, despite what Picard says. And then those aren't even useful most of the time.
Right. Exactly. I mean, apparently doing therapy on this ship is just giving the most obvious answers to people about what their problem is. It just doesn't come across well. Here's what I think.
And there's apparently, according to Picard, there's actually several other qualified psychotherapists on board too.
Yeah.
Because he says, you should talk to somebody.
I mean,
and she's like, oh, I'm fine. I don't need to talk to anybody else.
Guinan's
apparently
resume,
there's other psychotherapists.
Guinan's resume seems pretty goddamn strong at this point. If they're uh-huh. like, she could actually yeah. take that job and... I think Troy was a little bit worried in that scene, and I can understand why.
How are you at serving drinks, Deanna?
Do you know how to pour Romulan ale correctly? Here's a fundamental problem, I think, with this episode. I don't know if it's the major problem, but I think it's one that certainly adds to it. The fact that Deanna Troi is losing an ability that no one in the audience has makes it very difficult to relate to what the problem is. Even though I think the idea of an empath not being able to feel people around her is like it's an idea that like in my brain is very cool, but seeing it come to life on screen, you don't relate to what she's talking about. You know what I mean? Because her disability has turned her into me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like exactly. Nothing... Yeah, she's like us now. How terrible for you!
How terrible
is kind of the message of her this whole time. Yeah,
that's
You're exactly right. Yeah, it's because we don't have that ability, and she's like us, and then that's a big problem for her. And yeah, that's the message of Riker later on. So that means it's actually the viewpoint of the writers, probably, because he has the ultimate answer for her.
Yes,
he's the voice of reason. But you're right. It's unrelatable because, you know, she's has an ability that none of us have. And then every single time someone tries to relate to her and say, "Oh, you know what? It's like if you're turned blind all of a sudden. I can relate to that." Or it's like if you know your other senses will heighten because your other sense is down. Every time somebody says something like that, she shoots them down immediately. It's like, "You have no idea what this is like."
Yes, you're very angry. She doesn't have a single conversation with Geordi, which is a weird.
You know, oh yeah, doesn't they should fit right in.
Yeah,
go complain to him about how tough it is for you. Go to complain to him about disadvantages.
She was everyone then, was. Yeah. I have a hard time not seeing these in like a modern context. All I could think about this episode was microaggressions because she's flipping out at like the smallest, most innocuous of comments that people are making. Like when Geordi says something, he's like, "Boy, it would be useful to be able to tell what these aliens are thinking." She's like, "I'm trying my best. I'm trying my best."
Why did he
even
say that?
Ugh, what a dick. Anyway, yeah,
no, he was just being a dick there. Yeah, for sure.
So many microaggressions all over the place.
For sure. And then she storms out like a real professional.
Yeah, I didn't understand any of that.
She's a baby through half this episode. It's unfortunate because this is supposed to be her, you know, episode to shine kind of thing. Is what they usually do with these character episodes. And like I said, she gets to be the villain in her character episode.
Yeah.
She gets to show off what a terrible person she is if she doesn't have her powers.
Yep.
What a gigantic spoiled brat she is, entertaining all these advantages over everyone. They're supposed to be happy for her at the end when she gets her powers back. And I'm like, no, I am not happy for you now that you have your powers back. Actually, we need to talk about your racial superiority feelings, I think. I don't know if you're fit to serve on this ship anymore, actually, now that we have this come out.
Now that we've discovered you're the biggest racist on board, it is time for you to get the hell out of here. Now, I think that's true. I also think her reaction is I don't know if it's sort of un-Troi-like. Like, she's never had this experience before, so that kind of makes it difficult to say that. But it feels out of character, the way that she responds to this. I do feel it's probably a problem of timing, right? Because I feel this storyline could be one that could stretch. If this was a modern show, you could stretch this storyline over like half a season. You know,
her sort of
coming to grips with
explore
what this
it.
Means.
Yeah. Right.
And instead, we're forced to go through, like you said, the seven stages of grief in, you know, a matter of 20 minutes. A
couple minutes. And we cycle back to anger a couple times.
Yes.
But, yeah.
And it just, it doesn't land. It doesn't feel right. I don't buy any of the things that are going on here. I feel Riker is almost sort of creepy.
He's very creepy.
Why does he try to kiss her at the end? That feels uncalled.
Right, yes. I wrote that down. It's like, a kiss? Really? Like, you're moving in. Like, he sees a vulnerable woman. And he's like, this is my chance. This is finally it.
And, I mean, if you're going to kiss her before she gets her powers back so she won't see it coming. Yeah, you know, like,
right.
there's not good timing on your part there.
Well, uh-huh.
Yeah, I wish the Riker hug is one of my favorite things in the world. He hugs in a very soap opera kind of way. Like he tenderly holds their head as he squeezes them.
Well, the scene with the cry, I think it's the same scene you're talking about, where she has this terrible cry sound that she makes, and it's probably the most horrible thing I've ever heard in one of these episodes.
Saved slightly by the "you should see the hugs I give Geordi" joke, which is
which is pretty good, though. He breaks it pretty well. I like that. Yeah, I like that line. That was really good. It saves it.
It's tough, but we mentioned before in the previous episode, this one has a B plot similar to Final Mission, which the B plot feels a little bit more Star Trek-y than the A plot does, to me at least.
For sure.
It has...
I still don't like it, though. I'll go against you on the B plots again here on like the last episode, but it's still got the B plot problem of... it's a B plot problem of like the B plot ends up being the resolution to the A plot, but if you took this from perspective of let's say that Troy is not one of the high ranking people in the ship, and it's just some nobody. It's the busboy of 10 forward.
Sure.
And he loses his telepathic abilities. Doesn't know anything else what's going around on the ship. Doesn't know what they're dealing with on the bridge. It's gonna be like his powers go away. He goes to sick bay. They're like, I don't know, and then it comes back randomly. And basically, that's all that happened here. Like, she didn't do anything to bring her powers back. Yes, she solved the problem, but I mean, that's kind of her job, and as a counselor. So, I don't know. And then, like, the B plot is actually serves as kind of a deus ex machina for the A plot, almost.
Yes.
And it's just I don't know. It's, I mean, the B plot is could be interesting on its own.
I thought that the B plot could have been an episode of itself. Yeah. Like the ship getting pulled somewhere is, I thought it was kind of an interesting idea. You know, it's like you don't know where it's going. You got to figure out what's going on.
And it's wasted on this episode, I think, is the problem.
Right. I mean, it's the, I like the reveal of the 2D creatures, which I don't know if that makes sense or not. I'm not going to think about it. At this point, I like
don't think about it.
But it's, and I like the fact, you know, getting pulled into this. A lot of episodes have them being pulled into a star or something. That's not particularly interesting. But the fact that it's a alien that they're sort of caught in the current of is kind of a cool, cool idea.
But the resolution for this, too, I think the reason it never actually came into its own episode is that the resolution for this is like the last 10 minutes is pure technobabble. Like pure, like, oh, we have to stabilize it. Like, their ship's shaking, stabilize it, and it's stabilized. Okay, it's stabilized. Like, okay, that was unnecessary. What else you got?
Fire torpedoes.
Oh, my God. It's just, like, thing after thing after thing of just technobabble. And it's like, okay, if you guys don't want me to know what's going on, just say so.
Right,
You can infer things without you resorting to all of this, like, jargon to make it sound like you're doing something. Figure out a different term of how to explain what's going on, and don't...
Yeah, it's
make the last 10 minutes be technobabble, sitting at computer consoles.
It's tough too, because just like in the previous episode, we talked about how, you know, an asteroid field is not actually difficult to get through because in space asteroids are, you know, hundreds of miles apart, if even that close to each other.
Right. Well, even that, like that's like a nitpicky thing. Here, it's like they create their own nitpicks for no reason. So, like they say, we're going to create a projection of the string thingy.
Yeah.
And then someone's like, that's impossible. That's going to take 10,000 stars. Like, you don't have to bring that up. We would trust you. If you just said you can do a thing, you can do a thing.
Right.
Like,
yes,
if you're going to start technobabbling, then don't try to contradict your technobabble with more technobabble that you immediately solve anyways.
Yes.
So
yes.
They say, let's make a projection of the string thingamabob. And they're like, we can't do that. It'd take 2 days. We're just going to use the same vibrations as it. Like, that doesn't make any more sense than the last thing did. You could have just stopped at the first thing. Like, so, you know, if you said that, oh, we're going to make it have the same, you know, electromagnetic signatures, and it's going to appear to be the same to them, but not, it won't actually have the mass of the other thing. That's an English explanation for the thing.
That's a perfectly...
You don't have to say, explain how vibrations of string things are like violins to me, and then tell them it's stupid. But then Geordi's like, oh, no, it's right. He's onto something here. It's like, oh, my God, I'm going to punch someone.
Have you ever
seen... That's basically my reaction to this.
Have you ever seen a rubber band vibrate? It's exactly the same thing. I mean, it's kind of a thing. It's also, I guess, this super string thing or whatever it is has, you know, the mass of thousands of stars. But apparently crashing into it is the only thing that does damage. You know, not just being pulled apart by the
black hole of the thing.
Right, not just being torn apart by gravity or something. It's like you actually have to hit it for it to cause any damage to you, which is a little bit odd. But yeah, it's
Boy.
it's another B plot, just sort of. They've, like, we have to take this with a grain of salt. They've come a long way from the stories that A, didn't have a B plot, and then B, had no idea how to connect their B plot to their A plot.
That's true. At least that's it is dovetailing to a certain extent, but it's just, I don't know. From my perspective, it's like the B plot solves the A plot, and the A plot didn't solve itself, kind of thing.
I think we've had two episodes in a row now with a perfectly serviceable B plot if the A plot was better. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, or it just means that it could have just have all these like B plots sitting in a pile someplace. Or like, let's grab another one out of the hat and we'll work this one into the story, kind of thing. Like, right. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Basically it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that too. It's just, I think that on their own, they're fine. If the A plots were better, you probably wouldn't care about
the weaknesses
of the B plot, because the B plots are just kind of the way to solve the A plot. Here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'd fit anywhere. I think you can make this thing solve any number of problems generally, and so they grab it off the pile and throw it in there.
Data could be malfunctioning because of the two-dimensional aliens. Sure. You know, that's a story.
Any number of plots that go along with this thing. Yeah,
Worf could kill a Romulan or something because of the two-dimensional creatures. I wish they gave the two-dimensional creatures a name or something. I feel like they haven't done that. It's been a while since we've had an alien on the show that. Like the ugly bags of mostly water aliens from the first season. Like
A couple more this season coming up too.
Oh, are there? Excellent. Good. I'm looking forward to them. Interesting. So, any final thoughts, or do we want to wrap this son of a bitch up?
I have lost my telepathic powers, so I guess we should just move on.
It's hard to tell. I can't tell if you're done talking or if you have anything more to say.
Yeah, you're just kind of 2D. You're two-dimensional. You're a blank slate to me right now. I just don't know.
Yeah, Modi,
how to deal with that.
We're trying to give a three-dimensional review of the show, and you're bringing me 2D bullshit that I can't do anything with. All right, so we're going to take a break. We're going to play an audio clip. Me and Modi are going to come back with our ratings and final thoughts for The Loss.
Do you want to talk about it?
No.
Good. I get so tired of people coming in with their problems. They come in, they want a shoulder to cry on, and generally it turns out to be mine.
You'd make a good counselor.
I think so too. So I'm going to talk to Picard about it.
About what? You becoming counselor?
Well, yes, you're leaving. That means there won't be a counselor on board. And I suppose I'll have a very long line at that bar. It would be nice to have a nice office, too.
It's more than just letting them cry on your shoulder. It takes an enormous commitment.
I can do that.
Guinan, people come to talk to you about things they want to reveal. As ship's counselor, you have to get them to talk about things they don't want to reveal.
I could do that, too.
What are you... You don't really want to be ship's counselor.
What would make you say that?
I just know you're not serious.
Have I given you any indication that I might not be serious?
Not really, but...
Then how do you know? Are your empathic abilities coming back?
No. I suppose it's just instinctive. Oh. I get it. You're trying to make me see that I have other abilities to draw on. Human intuition. Instincts. Guinan, those skills only develop after years of experience.
Well, fortunately for this episode, we weren't at a loss for words, I don't think. I think we did a pretty good coverage. I think I got a lot of stuff off my chest about what I feel.
Easier with the bad episodes, always. The bad episodes we have a ton to say on.
Yes.
The mediocre episodes, not so much.
Yes, it's the good and the bad. There's a lot to talk about. The medium ones are slightly weaker than medium are very difficult to get into. And it's a weird byproduct of the show. But anyway, so I'm going to give my general thoughts about season four as we go here now before we get into our final thoughts. Season four to me has been a weird season. It feels a little bit of a lull to me coming off of season three. We've had maybe two solid episodes so far into season four at this point, which is a little bit concerning. But I don't know. You're telling me it gets a little bit better as we move on into the later
episodes.
There
are some gems coming up very, very soon. Yeah. And I think it might be just kind of a weird, like, second sophomore slump kind of thing. Because, I mean, last season they kind of figured out how to do what they do. And then this season, they know how to do what they do, but they don't know how to do it well enough as they think they can.
That's
right,
true.
Now, I think,
it's
the problem.
It's kind of a rebooted sophomore season, right?
Because exactly.
Season three is really the first good season of the show. So if you take that as, you know, modern context, that would be a great first season, and now we're in our sophomore slump, coming out of it. So we'll see. We'll see. Things will perk up. I know there are a couple great episodes coming up, but at this point, it's been we've been in a trough of episodes that are, I don't really look forward to watching them. You know, they're the episodes that I look at them and I'm like, oh, it's that one.
It's the same problem as the mediocre episodes. There's not much to talk about. Just like you just feel like milquetoast about it, and
right.
It's like, yeah, this is a high two episode. This is a mid range two episode.
Right.
This is not like you want to just force yourself through it.
Yes, and the twos,
which you do. God bless you. You do it. You have to do it.
I gotta get through this. I just have to turn into a two dimensional creature on the couch and sit there and stare at it. The twos are on our scale of 1 to 5, 1 being truly atrocious dreck, 5 being all-time classics. The twos, as I always say, for me, are the episodes that could be decent with a couple fixes, and I probably don't feel inclined to watch them. That's like a solid two for me. Don't feel inclined to watch it because the plot problems are what holds the episode back from even being average. 3, typical average episode. 4, you know, you'd start showing that episode to somebody else, you'd enjoy watching it. You'd probably watch it on a rerun if it popped up. Modi, what are you going to give this one on a scale of 1 to 5?
I told my wife I was going to give it a 1 before I started recording here. And then I had so much fun talking about it, though, that I'm going to give it a 1.5 also. So that's what it is. If you want to, like, talk about a bad episode of Star Trek, watch this episode. Because it's a lot of fun to talk about, at least.
It is.
A lot of layers, like I said, if they're all bad, but a lot of layers.
Stinky, stinky onion. It's, let's see. I'm going to give it a 2. I don't think, this is not the worst Troy episode. I think it's just snowballing to the point now where they build off of each other. So I'm going to give it a 2. I think it has some potential somewhere because I like the idea of her losing her powers. I like the ship getting pulled into something through because it's gotten a current of aliens. Like, those are two decent ideas that really just don't work here whatsoever. And I don't think this is as bad as like an episode of The Child or The Price, which I think are worse Troy episodes.
That is true.
So I'll give it a 2. It's just, you don't need to watch this one. It's just there. If you're looking to write a thesis about why the Troy character doesn't work, I think this one pretty much covers all the bases.
If you've made it this far to this episode, you do not need to watch the actual episode. You've listened to the podcast. You know what? This is much more entertaining than the episode will be. So just listen to the podcast.
Yeah, sorry. Just listen to the podcast. Listen to the podcast. Give us a rating and review on YouTube if you're over there. Give us a rating and a review on iTunes. Helps get the show out there. Modi, thanks for coming on. Thanks for grinning and bearing through 2 of the lesser episodes of season 4, I would think, at
In
this
all
point.
Earnestness, anytime. I love to talk about bad episodes even.
Sure,
so,
sure.
Anytime.
We'll get you in a good one. A good one's got to be coming up soon. Clues. Maybe we'll get Clues going down.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be a good one. I'd like that. All right, cool.
Cool. Modi, thanks again. And guys, thank you for listening. I'll be back with whatever episode is after this. I don't have the internet open in front of me, but I'm sure it's going to be better than The Loss. It has to be. Thank you guys for all your support, and I will see you later.